You know, sometimes you come to church and there is a reading or a prayer, or in this case, a hymn that is assigned for the day that really does seem to stand out. And, you know, sometimes I'm often amazed by, especially when it comes to hymns, because, you know, Tom often works weeks in advance to put together, you know, the hymns for the season. So, you know, so sometimes when a certain hymn pops up, and especially when you consider other things that are suddenly going on around you and in the news, or maybe it's your personal life. And it's sort of amazing how, whether it's divine intervention or coincidence, which a good friend of mine, Louis Kiker, used to call coincidence was God working anonymously. You know, but, you know, sometimes things just sort of stand out. And I was, as we were, you know, preparing this morning, and, you know, it's funny as I look at these ahead of time, but, you know, jumping from one church to another, when I open up my bulletin or look at the board, and I reminded what song or hymn we're beginning with, and seeing that we had 482, and thinking, what a wonderful hymn to start, especially after a week, you know, after this week with this, you know, possibly one of the most contentious, you know, and problematic elections we've had in a very long time, at least in my memory. And, you know, you hear these words of Lord of all hopefulness, Lord of all eagerness, Lord of all kindliness, Lord of all gentleness. And it reminds us, well, it brings us back and reminds us about our God and this place that we are in, and that this is where we come find encouragement, and sometimes this is where we come to find peace. Sometimes this is where we call to get that shove, that gentle shove into action. And that's one of the reasons that I find a church is so necessary for at least my life, and I know for many others, is the many things that it helps me in life. And sometimes church is about making me uncomfortable too. Because coming here, you know, I had a cousin earlier this week, it's funny, in the 12 and a half, you know, like the 12 years, 12 and a half years being ordained, it's always funny. I always, you know, every once in a while somebody informs me what my job is as a priest. And, you know, sometimes it's good, but, you know, I had said something that apparently had made her uncomfortable, and she was telling me my job as a priest was to make people feel positive about themselves. And I told her she was looking for was a puppy. Or, you know, maybe a motivational speaker. You know, it's one of those things, I don't believe that any Christian is supposed to go out of their way to make people feel horrible just for the sake of being horrible. But sometimes, you know, we are call to ask the questions that make us think. And then we're also called sometimes to bring us back together again. As I said, this has been a very difficult election, and to be honest, I had no illusions, no matter who won the vote, whether it would have been Mr. Trump or Secretary Clinton, or by some miracle, one of the other candidates, that all the anger and hatred and the divisions that have been created the last couple of years were going to be taken care of overnight. I know there's a lot of people who are kind of having that feeling of, oh, you know, it's over with, get over. And we all realize that's not how life works. And so realizing that as Christians, we have a lot of work to do, this work of what we often refer to as reconciliation or healing. You you know, because we are in a place where there are a lot of people, you know, and I want to start off by my prayers are with President-elect Donald Trump, you know, and as well as his family. I also offer my prayers for the other candidates who I thought were, you know, at the end were very gracious in their, you know, in their loss of the campaign. But I also realize that as a part of this, you know, there are a lot of people who are very excited, but half the nation seems to be really excited, and there's the other half of the nation that is anything but. There are people who are being really great, good winners, and there are people who are being really horrible winners, and the other way along the other side. And there are people who have a lot of concerns because the last 2 years, you've heard a lot of rhetoric directed at them. You know, people who have been, you know, hearing threatening things because of the pigment of their skin or because of their hair, you know, their heritage. People who are concerned because of religious beliefs. And those of us who are concerned because we're, you know, of our either our orientation or our gender identity. And you can't take away those fears overnight. And let's see, you know, and I've been seeing protests on both sides that have been really ugly. There's been some very good, you know, I think very proper ones, but some ones that are very ugly. A colleague of mine in, you know, a colleague of mine in Iowa, the day after the election, you know, he's a priest in Episcopal Church, found on his window this really horrible message with all sorts of epithets, you know, aimed at his sexuality that's, you know, basically talked about now that Donald Trump was in, that these horrible things were going to happen to them. While at the same time, a conservative grocer, you know, just a normal businessman, woke up to find all sorts of horrible things written on his window because he had a vote for Trump sign. So all sorts of horrible things are still happening. So things aren't just going to be taken care of overnight. And what we need to do as Christians, as followers of Christ, is to continue in our work of love and reconciliation. In our gospel today, we have the disciples looking at the big old rocks on the temple, and they're seeing all the beautiful appointments, and they're just, you know, seeing all this very solid and great beauty, and they're exclaiming how wonderful this is to Jesus, and he kind of pulls them up short by saying that one day these things are all going to be done, gone. And we all kind of know that about life, you know. I mean, we don't always like to think about it, that those things that we love or think are solid are all temporal. You know, governments have come and gone. Built churches have come and gone. Leaderships have come and gone. But, you know, the one thing that remains consistent is that the love of God is with us. His kingdom continues on. In spite of all the adversities that come up before him, God always prevails. But we aren't just called to sit and relax and wait for God to take care of everything, as we all know. Our work as Christians is to go out and to proclaim this good news of love. And to actually live into it, to offer our brothers and sisters, you know, across the aisle, the proverbial handshake, to make sure that those people who are in need are taken care of, to listen to other people on their hurts and grievances. That doesn't mean you have to agree with them, but to hear people, to really listen to them. To do what is necessary to make sure that Christ is known by our works, our actions, and our words. And maybe, if necessary, go out and, you know, sometimes, you know, is there somebody who you've hurt? Is there somebody who you've been arguing with? Somebody who is completely in the wrong that maybe you need to make an apology to? You know, as I said, we're never going to be perfect. And if you look at history, I always love one of my favorite, you know, we've had the various trucker caps out. One of my favorite was, you know, Make America Kind Again, you know, which was a response to Donald Trump's Make America, you know, Great Again. And I thought, you know, and you can kind of question when were we all kind? Because if you really look at history, you can probably point out examples. But the thing is it isn't a bad thing to strive for is kindness. You know, in his letter, Paul warns us about not becoming weary about doing the work we need to for God. Like I said, you know, that doesn't mean you have to agree with everything going on, which I hope nobody ever totally agrees with everything that's going on, because, you know, God gave us a brain. And, you know, and even the people whose either views or politics I deeply admire that are similar to mine, I never totally agree with. But there is this respectful and loving way that we can live into our relationships. But if necessary, be willing to speak out when we have times of injustices. To stand up for those who do not have a voice or have a weak voice. To protect those as best as we can who may need our protection. You know, I won't lie that I won't lie to you. I have a lot of concerns and I have a lot of fears moving ahead. And I would have had those same fears no matter who would have won the vote. But more important than my fears and my apprehensions is my faith in the kingdom of God and my hope. And if nothing else in the world, I know that I am loved. You know, of course I'm loved by God, which is always wonderful. But I also know that there are people outside of God who love me. And sometimes it's a good thing to take stock of that, especially when things are feeling rough. And when you're feeling that life is most difficult, is to think about who are the people in your life that you love, but also more sometimes who love you. And sometimes that list is a lot bigger than we realize. My brothers and sisters, we have a lot of work to do, but we always have. This Wednesday, I posted on, you know, in you'll see an insert from the diocese where the bishop speaks about the election, you know, and the diocese posted a post-election response from our bishop that I have posted on our Facebook page, and it's available on the website. And yesterday, as we were in convention, the bishop in his convention address, which is usually written way ahead of time, and yeah, I mean, he always leaves rooms to add things, I know our Lawrence of Long Island well enough to realize he's not above ab-libbing here and there too. But His message is one of unity, of this willingness to talk and listen and to come together. And he has asked those of us who are members of the Episcopal Church of Long Island to do what we can to bring some sense of unity together. And so in response to that, this Wednesday evening, I've made a post on Facebook, and I know many of you who aren't on Facebook, so I'll announce it here. Now, Wednesday, we're going to have the normal Bible study in the morning at 11 and the noon healing Eucharist. But that evening, we will hold a contemplative Eucharist. And this is a time where, if there gives a lot of space for just being with one another. You know, a lot of times the music is more instrumental. There'll be some singing, but there'll be a lot of instrumental time. And there'll be a liturgy or the service of anointing, of healing, as part of that service. But it's an opportunity to come together as a community. And we have invited our brothers and sisters, not only in Yaphank, but I spoke to the senior warden of St. John the Baptist in Center Mariches, as well as St. Mark's in Medford, and they're going to announce to their people that they are welcome to come here. And they are wondering if maybe in the future, if we'd be willing to come to their places too, every once in a while come together, whether it's monthly or quarterly, as an opportunity for us all to come together as a people of God and just to pray together. So that'll be 7:30 Wednesday, and all are welcome. And I hope you'll allow other people to know, and I hope you're able, if you're able to, that you'll be able to make, that you will come. And more than anything else, I hope is when you leave today, you'll take the opportunity to try to find some way to make somebody else's day. Whether it's a small gesture as saying hello to, asking the clerk at the grocery store and actually meaning it, how they are doing, or maybe it is, going out of their way to helping somebody you know that needs something done. Or just, there are so many gestures we can make. And you can do it anonymously too. We are a people of God. We are made in God's image, and so is our brothers and sisters. We have made children of God through Christ, through this wonderful love, that it doesn't matter if you are, it doesn't really matter if your skin color is black or white. It doesn't matter if your background is Asian or Hispanic. It doesn't matter if you are straight or gay or trans. These things don't matter to God. They only matter to us. And it's time we focus on what is important to God, is that each and every one of us are children of God. So with that in mind, I know we did this last week, but we're going to do it again, just to remind us. I am inviting you to turn into your prayer books to page 292. 292.